1.2% in July.
Blog Talk Radio.
Auto sales. Otherwise, that number would have been even stronger. And look at June. June was revised up 8.4%. So you can see people were really spending in May, June, and July, but July tapering off a little bit here.
The Canada-U.S. border will remain closed to non-essential travel for at least another month. Many Canadians fear a reopening. Canada has a flat epidemic curve, while the U.S. has seen a rise in the number of coronavirus cases. The Dow up 18. I'm Mike Moss.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Friday. Well, we'll see more sunshine again today. High temperatures around 77 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 58. For the weekend, more sunshine expected and temperatures on the rise. Low to mid 80s and 90s for Sunday. Still clear skies through the overnight, low temperatures in the low 60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. Yes, it can seem rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, and it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance, from the quality of your inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. Here on the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Are you ready to step into your vibration of change?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW AM 1150 in the Seattle area and on Transformation Talk Radio around the world. I'd like to say hello to the two people behind technology. They're two, actually many, but they're the ones who are connected right now. Mr. Benny Mathers at KKNW. Hey, Benny.
Hi, Christine. How are you? Welcome.
Nice to be here. You know, it's odd not doing this in the studio anymore, but I'm getting used to like one corner or another in my house. But I miss seeing you every week.
Well, now you know how I feel every time when I sit here at the desk.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a little different there in the studio these days at Hubbard Radio.
It's about the same, to be honest.
Oh, okay. And I want to say hi to Olivia at TransformationTalkRadio.com, who is doing her part in the technology. I want to say hello and thank you to her. Hey, Olivia.
Hey there, Christine. Good morning. Beautiful day.
Good morning. And you know, I'm really excited about our show today. I think that for most of us, we have this perception of our value really being to tell the truth, both to other people and to ourselves. And for many of us on a conscious level, that's a value. But our guest today is going to be talking about how, you know, oftentimes we really don't want people to tell us the truth. And oftentimes we don't tell the truth. And why it is that happens and what we can do about it. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. But before I introduce him, we're going to go to a quick 60-second break. Stay tuned.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there. But when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance.
From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
To the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, I'm excited about our conversation today because when I heard the title of this man's book, I knew that we had to have him on the show. I'm just going to give you a sneak preview here. It's called Please Lie to Me. And I find that to be absolutely fascinating. His name is Thompson Barton. And back in 1991, he founded Barton White Associates, which is an organizational transformation consulting and training firm that specializes in identifying and reducing the cost of defensiveness to business using something called accountable communication technology. In 2018, he published this book, Please Lie to Me, which challenges business owners and leaders to take back control of their cultures from fear. In doing so, they reach previously unattainable degrees of effectiveness and productivity. And, you know, he talks a lot about business in here, but it's really about personal communication. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Thompson Barton. Hi, Tommy. I'm used to calling you Tommy, so I'm going to call you Tommy. How you doing?
Do that.
You know, when I first heard the title of your book, I thought, it's so true. Before I really understood all the reasons why, it just felt true. Please lie to me. So what prompted you once upon a time to look at the lies in the business culture?
Let's see. I would say that that started when I went to graduate school in 1980, let's say, a program in holistic psychology founded by Will Schutz, who, among other things, of his nine books, one of them was entitled, and it was one of the most recent perhaps, The Truth Option. And the graduate school was founded, and he's been an eminent psychologist, taught psychometrics at Harvard for many years, taught at UCLA and so forth, and ended up, as it were, at Esalen Institute in California. And he decided, as a psychologist and all the work he'd done in psychology, that, you know what? The key to physical, mental, and spiritual aliveness, like the whole thing, all those systems functioning as optimally as they can, were three principles, basic, broke down to three things. One, not necessarily in this order, but these are three components. One, self-awareness. That is me being open with me about what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. That's a measure of openness, because we have in our culture this marvelous phrase which covers the other possibility, which, look, you know what, Christine, I think you're kidding yourself here. Mm-hmm. So right. We have the capacity to kid ourselves, like that's an option.
Sure.
I love the title of that book, Truth Options. Like, you don't have to tell the truth. We all know we don't have to tell the truth because we don't frequently. So that was the first principle. So look, you got to raise your awareness to even know how you're operating in order to maximize your living in those three areas of broken down in mind, body, spirit, though at the time that's what we thought of as holism. The second principle was, or another one was, not only you first have to know what, be open with yourself, not kid yourself. Secondly, be open about what's true for you all the time. That is, say what you're thinking and say what you're feeling. Be real, be authentic. Mm-hmm. Anything other than that, and there's some measure, and the reason I distilled this whole thing down to fear, is there's some measure of fear. Now, psychologically, you could call it insecurities. I'm not so sure that if I were really open with you, you would not get angry or think I'm stupid or have some kind of reaction to me to kind of pull back. And then where would I be? You wouldn't like me or you'd think this person's stupid. I don't want to hang around with them. So those are some fears. So that's why I'm not going to be open with you. Those are just very quick shorthand examples. The third principle was assume that you are completely responsible for everything you're experiencing. Now, when we didn't, and that's a point of view. That's just a point of view. It's a point of view. It's a way to look at what's to look at what's happening to me and what's not happening.
Right.
And the point there was, look, you're better off to consider that you're creating all of this stuff some one way or another, rather than you have no clue what's happening in your life and you have no clue why that person's reacting to you this way or that way or why you didn't get the job or why this person's So it's better to assume, what am I doing or not doing right now about anything in my life that I say I'm dissatisfied with and I want it differently?
Of course, that requires getting out of victimhood, which so many people are stuck in.
As I say in business, I say, look, you got this deck of cards you like to play with. And one of the cards in your deck is blame, which means somebody's doing something to me. So, in order to be move into as your title of the show goes, your explanation to transform in any way you want. But we're talking about the word aliveness here, so always that blame card out of the deck. You can no longer play that card, which means I'm not a victim to anything. That's how the victim thing is handled. But the victim piece for transformation absolutely must leave the equation of how one looks at what's happening to them and what's not happening. I still have cancer. It's in remission, but I assume that cancer is a verb. I'm cancering myself. Now, if I look at it that way, rather, well, cancer just happens, like randomly. Like how? Look, like way about fitness, which is true, and eating a very intentional way that I think is the most healthy for my body and left. How come I got cancer and this other guy over here could care less about what he eats, doesn't exercise at all? How come that guy's not got cancer? I mean, wait a minute, this isn't fair.
Right.
Rather than look at it that way, it's like, okay, what am I getting out of this cancer? What's my payoff for this? If I look at it rather than, oh, this sucks, poor me and all that, if I go, now what is this, what's in it for me? And this is not original with me. Helen Keller, for instance, blind and deaf, right? Helen Keller said, among other things, that it was being blind and deaf that she would never have reached the realizations and the kind of life, the fulfilling experience she had if she had not been blind or deaf.
Sure.
So there's that point. Those were the three things that got, and he introduced those to me, and I was in the graduate school, and I was immersed in those three things, and it was from that that I drew the conclusion that I did in the answer to your question.
Right. So, you know, these are fascinating concepts to apply in personal relationships, right? And I think that even our most intimate relationships, we're really afraid of telling the truth. But you decided to apply it to business. What's the benefit of applying it to business world?
Well, I think you mentioned it when you introduced me. One of the phrases I use back to begin to ask, although not so much these days, but if I'm flying an airplane, the person next to you says, what's your business? What do you do? And I would frequently say, well, I'm a specialist in identifying and reducing the cost of defensiveness to business organizations. You should have seen the looks I got. Like, the next thing, okay, so I'm going, what does that mean? The next best guess is, oh, you work for the Pentagon. No.
I love that.
But some of those surveillance things, you saw those things?
Right. Yeah.
No, that ain't it either. why I say defensiveness? Why I use that word is because the form in which our fear of one another shows up behaviorally is in defensive behavior, what's called defensive behavior. In my book, I have a couple of pages of that. For example, blaming is a defensive behavior. Criticizing is a defensive behavior. Having to be right is a defensive behavior. And the key word in that sentence is having to be right. I want to be right. Who doesn't want to be right? But when I have to be right, that's a bit of a neurosis. And if I have to be right in this conversation with you or in the meeting, you have to be wrong.
Yeah.
That's what's necessary for me to be right.